This is the lesson from 1 Timothy chapter 5, as Paul gives instructions to Timothy as to how to deal with various groups within the church. Here are verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. So Paul is speaking of the church as a family. Older men, older women, brothers and sisters, grandparents and children. What a marvelous truth this is, that a local church is a family of believers. In the New Testament, we have the church pictured as a building, vine and branches, shepherd and sheep, as a body, and here as a family. The church as a family of believers. Now, he begins in verse 1 about rebuking an older man. We could say rebuking is to confront. And anyone engaged in confronting someone else must be very careful. You must discern the time. Is this the right time to do it? Am I the right person to be doing this? Is my motive just right? Am I being biblical? At any rate, it must be done at times. And Paul is saying, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort. Now, older men, then, are to be treated with respect. If we come to an older man, it must be with an appeal rather than a rebuke, because they are fathers. The Old Testament and New Testament makes it very clear that children and young people are to respect older people, and that children and young people must be obedient to parents. And so, Timothy, here is how you treat older men in the church. With respect. Come to them with an appeal rather than a rebuke, and remember, they are fathers. Now then, he also mentions younger men. Younger men are to be treated as brothers, not with an attitude of superiority over them because they are younger. And here is the call for brotherly love to be carried out in the church. Then Paul gives instructions concerning older women. Verse 2, treat the older women as mothers, that is, with the attitude of gentle love and respect and appreciation. Then there is a word here about younger women. How is Timothy and the others to treat younger women? Treat them as sisters. Brothers, protect sisters. Brothers, provide for sisters. Brothers, defend sisters. And Paul says, Timothy and the others are to do this in all purity. And I think one of the important principles for a pastor to follow is never to counsel women alone, and it eliminates many problems. Now then, beginning in verse 3, Paul takes up another area of care in the church. That is the care of widows, beginning at verse 3. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home, and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. What is being said here is that widows are under the care of the church. Widows are under the umbrella of provision and authority of the local church. And sometimes it's a difficult life for single women, women who are widows. And I think it's good for them to come and volunteer to be under the authority of the local church, since they have no husband. So here it's clear that the widows are under the care of the church. And he uses the word honor. Honor widows. And they could be people who are left alone for several reasons. They are to be honored, to show respect. He then goes on to speak about how to evaluate the widows. Honor widows who are really widows. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home, to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable. Now she who is really a widow and left alone, trust in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. So, looking at this section of Scripture, it's clear that the church family has the primary responsibility for evaluating how to take care of the widows. And the care is godly and honorable toward the widows. It says the widows must be a believer. The widow must be a woman of devotion. She must not live carelessly. Now, early in church history, there was a problem about this, of taking care of people who are in need and poor, and providing shelter and food for them, and how this is to be done. And here is further instruction about this. The widows who qualify for church care and provision must meet these standards. So he goes on with further instruction about providing for one's household, and regardless of whether they are widows or not. And he goes on to say it continues here in chapter 5, in verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So here's a very strong admonition, exhortation, about the responsibility of the husband and father to provide. And for him to fail at that, at least in an attempt, is to deny the faith. That is the truth of God's word. And it is to believe or to behave as an unbeliever. And that's the word to Timothy. Now, he picks up in verse 7 and 8 and 9. Well, verse 9, really. Again, about the continuing care of widows and the requirements for serving in the church. These are instructions for widows who want to serve in the church. And interestingly, he says that a widow, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number of those who serve, and must be the wife of one man. Not under 60. That's very interesting today as we think of maturity. In some sense, in that Jewish community, age 40 was a place of maturity. A man was still a young man until he was 40. And now, here the widows are not to serve unless they're 60 or above. They are to be the wife of one husband. They were to carry a good reputation. They are to have brought up children. Verse 10. Well reported for good works if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Now these are strong requirements. She has shown hospitality. She has washed the saints' feet, that has been a servant. She has helped those in distress and has been devoted to every good work. Stringent requirements for serving in the church. It's interesting that this much attention is given to the care of widows in the church, and yet here it is. And I don't think this is being carried out in our modern-day churches. Of course, economy is different, environment is different, and many women are working, so the needs have changed. But probably we could do a better job of giving attention to the needy women in the church. Now then, in verses 11 through 15, he takes up the care of the younger women. Verse 11, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. Now, how about these young widows in the church? Paul says to Timothy, don't put them on the list to receive care from the church because of these following reasons. Their sensual desires interfere with their usefulness. They desire to marry, and their pursuit of this is taking up all their time and interest, so they don't serve well. Their attention is getting on getting married. Then they are given to idleness. They go from house to house, and they become gossips and busybodies, which means nosy. Now I want to say a word about this idea of people getting together, visiting house to house, or meeting for fellowship. if that relationship and fellowship is not based on the Word of God, it usually breaks down. I have seen groups who begin to meet for prayer who wind up being gossips and busybodies. You can't leave out the Word of God in keeping a group healthy. And so we need to be careful about becoming gossips and busybodies, having the Word of God central in our midst. Now, here's the exhortation to these younger widows. Paul says, get married, bear children, keep house. The dangers, if they don't do this, is that they suffer reproach and they fall away. What a word, what a strong message this is about widows and older and younger in the church. Now, as a strange section here, verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. Do not to let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are widows. In other words, rather than the church supporting and helping certain widows, men and women must care for widows privately and personally, and to provide assistance for them so that the church will not be burdened. So this is the section mostly on widows. In verse 17, Paul takes up the subject of how to treat elders. Verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in teaching and preaching or word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. How do we treat elders in the church? With honor. Honor the elders, which means to respect them. Now, specifically here, it refers to their financial support. How do we honor the elders? By supporting them financially. Now, this is a way that God organized this in the Old Testament. The Levites were people who cared for the tabernacle, and they were supported by the other 11 tribes. There are people who are given a position by God, commissioned and directed by God, to give themselves to the ministry of being an elder through preaching and teaching and other services. And they are to be supported by the rest of the body of Christ, by the others in the family. And it is absolutely correct and biblically accurate to give these people support financially. Personally, I have never asked for any money. I have never asked for a salary. I have taken what the church gave, what God's people gave, we have received. And I have always felt that it's wise that the pastor be sort of in the center or toward the bottom of the pay scale of the local church, and that a pastor should never have a reputation for being in the ministry for financial gain or purposes, but rather have the idea that he is not among the wealthy, he's not even among the middle, he's at the lower end of the pay scale, and the people do not suspect him of being greedy. Now then, Paul gives another statement here that's rather interesting. You honor elders by giving some double honor. And it says of them, what do? They rule well, counted worthy of double honor. They give a leadership that is good and right. And it says they labor or work hard at preaching and teaching, and they're devoted to that. And for the preaching elder, that is his priority. He must protect his time and his devotion to preaching, the proclamation of the Word of God. Because the church, the local church body, is looking to him primarily for their edification, for their instruction and guidance in the Word of God. And they are to be treated with double honor. We do that by supporting them financially and by acknowledging that the elder is worthy of support. And there is the word about honoring the elder. Now then, Paul says they are to be protected. Verse 19. Do not let an accusation against an elder, do not receive an accusation against an elder, except from two or three witnesses. An accusation against an elder must have two or three witnesses. And Paul is saying here, any other accusation is not to be received. One of the worst things that happens is a false accusation. Destroys lives, destroys families, destroys churches. We need to be very, very careful. And if we personally want to be engaged in this, we must have other witnesses. Now then, Paul goes on to speak of rebuking an elder. Verse 20. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Rebuke the elders. Those who continue in sin, verse 20. Now apparently this would be a person who has had warning, who has had exhortation, who has been encouragement against a certain sin or sinning, but that person has rejected the counsel and continued in his own sinful ways. And when that happens, that elder or elders are to be rebuked. And to rebuke means to expose. Strong word. Not only to expose them personally, but to rebuke and to expose them in the presence of all. That is, before the local congregation, the elder is to be exposed. And Paul exhorts Timothy to carry this out. The church is to carry out this procedure faithfully. And that is not happening so much in churches today. Now he goes on in this section about the selection of elders, verse 22. do not lay hands, that is ordain, do not ordain anyone hastily, nor share in other person's sins. Keep yourself pure. Now, one of the things about elders is that they are, it is not to be done hastily. Don't make a man an elder too quickly. And one of the most difficult errors that takes place in church life is to put people in leadership too quickly. We're not qualified, and once they get in, it's hard to get rid of them. So do not do this with haste. Then Paul speaks about Timothy's own personal purity. Don't share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Pure of heart. And then he gives a word about personal health. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities. So this is a personal problem for Timothy, and it's a problem for people in that area with impure water. So a little wine for the stomach's sake is instruction by Paul to Timothy. It's interesting that among the unbelieving world, this is one of the most well-known passages of Scripture that is used by men and women who want to drink alcohol. That while it says it in the Bible, drink wine. Now, Paul says a little wine for your stomach's sake. So this is an exhortation about selecting elders, and he goes on with this exhortation. Verse 24 and 25. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. Now, this is sort of the kind of people who become candidates for eldership, and this is what it looks like. There are some who are obviously disqualified by their sin. Their sin is apparent to all. It is not hidden, and therefore they are disqualified. Then he speaks of people whose the sins of some men follow later. They come to light during this process of becoming an elder. On the opposite side of that, there are some with very good qualities. Verse 25, the likewise the good works of some are clearly evident. It's seen by all, and they understand that these are men of faith and purity, and their good qualities are very evident. Then there are those whose good deeds and good qualities come to light during the procedure. And so all these things are taken into consideration in the process of selecting and ordaining elders. Well, chapter 5 is a very, very important instruction concerning life in the church, and we would do well to follow these instructions more carefully today. Now may the Lord bless to our hearts the teaching of 1 Timothy chapter 5, and help us to follow this out in our day. Amen.